Praise the Lord, it's good to be here tonight.
Yes.
You never realize how much you miss something until you don't have it or can't use it. I praise God for His blessings. He's been so good to me. God has truly, truly poured out His blessings upon my life. Man, I can't thank Him enough for all He's done. I would like to, we'll get started and then I'd like to talk just a second. We'll start in John chapter 5. Excuse me. I'm going to have to deal with a few sniffles tonight, but we'll get through. It'll be okay. John chapter 5, starting verse 1. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. If you would mind, bow your head. Brother Eddie, would you mind praying, please?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. God, we thank you for the man of God to stand and bring it to our attention tonight. Father, I pray that we'll be in one mind and one accord, receptive, Lord, and obedient to your will tonight. Father, I ask that you bless Brother Tony, anoint him tonight, God, with that heavenly blessing, Lord, and the anointing upon him. Amen. God, let him just bring down the message, God, that we need to hear tonight. And we'll be careful, Lord, giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask it in the precious, holy name of Jesus.
Amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. Brother Eddie did tell me when I guess everybody here knows I fell off the back porch. I thank God for looking after ignorance or stupidity or whatever you want to call it. But I did, Brother Eddie was like, well, you need to be sure you get some scriptures lined up and be ready. And I'd love to be able to tell you I sat for 6 weeks and fasted and prayed and just had everything going, but I didn't. I was lazy. I sat around, wasn't sure what I could do, what I couldn't do. Just kind of sat around. When Karen left first day to work, she went back to work. I couldn't put no weight on my legs, so she left me a lunchbox, like a lunchbox. And I had 2 sandwiches, chips, snacks, 2 or 3 drinks, not to mention the big cup you get from the hospital was full of water sitting there as well. I mean, I was loaded down. I was like, man, I don't have to get up at all then. So it was nice. It was nice to be taken care of. But God really showed me that no matter what you face or what you go through, He's going to take care of us. He's going to be with us. I plan on getting into the scripture and getting into, hopefully it ties together. But the night I fell off the porch, I want to take a moment to be thankful, because a lot of everybody knows what happened, but some may not. But I fell off the back porch, and when I had bent down to pick up some stuff, I was cleaning. It was like 8 o'clock at night. I was going to pick up the stringer for the step and lay it on the porch. And when I went to pick it up and stepped, I guess I stepped off the porch. Well, I still had the stringer in my hand, so going down, I didn't want that 2x12 to land on top of me. So I kind of threw it, and it probably pushed me out a little more, and I landed kind of on my side, whatever you call it, trochanter or whatever that lady said it was, and my hand. And Karen, of course, first thing, she heard me out there hollering, come out there. She said, first I thought you were kidding, and then I could hear, I guess, the desperation in the moan or whatever it was. She said she come running out and was like, are you okay? And I really didn't know what to tell her. I knew something wasn't right. I didn't know what was right. She come running around where I was at, and by the time of her running around, I was laying on my, I'd landed somehow, I'd rolled to my left side, and I was just laying flat on the concrete, and I was thinking, I can move my toes, I can wiggle my back, you know, because first thing I was thinking, God, something's my back. So I can move everything, and I was like, well, I can't pick my, When you lay down, you never know how hard it is just to pick this leg up. Well, I couldn't get my leg picked up. There was no way for it to go. I was just like, I can't move my leg. And she got out there and she was like, oh my gosh, are you all right? What's the matter? And I was like, I can't move my leg. And she's like, you can't move it. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I can move my leg. I just, like right this moment, I can't, but I can wiggle everything. So I was like, oh, Lord of mercy, that's the last thing. She'd be thinking I was paralyzed. So she was like, well, let's call an ambulance. I said, no, I am not paying for an ambulance. I don't want to do an ambulance ride. She was like, well, what do we do? I can't pick you up. So just get your daddy down here. So I wasn't thinking. Kylie's like, Kylie, go tell Papa. So she calls and they're like, daddy's fell off the back porch and he's laying back there hurting. You got to help him. So they're like, oh my gosh, brother Eddie. I was laying there and still on my side. Can't remember if I was trying to get up when you got there or not, but poor brother Eddie come running. No, I didn't, because he come running around the side. And I could tell he was like sweating. I'm like, well, they didn't tell him good because they just panicked him. So poor brother Eddie come down there, and through the grace of God, was able to get up, make it to the car. The car was probably, I don't know, 10 yards or so. But it's the hardest, the longest walk I've ever had in my life. Because I told him, I was like, well, if I can prop on brother Eddie, and Kylie would give me a cutoff too before, I'm like, I can get this, you know. Well, I wasn't thinking, if something's wrong with this leg up here, every time this move, it affects everything over here. I wasn't thinking clearly, but I was like, well, I can do this. It wasn't very good, but we did it. We got to the car. Getting in the car was probably one of the worst parts, getting your foot past that little lip. And when you wear a size 16 or 17, you feel like it's another 3 foot. You're like, oh, my gosh, just get in. So we go to the hospital, and on the way there, Karen, she's stressed and worried, and and I tell her on the way there, I'm like, hun, God has never failed us. He has never dropped me. He has never quit caring for me. He has never stopped, and he's not going to. I said, there may be, there's something wrong. I was pretty sure. I didn't know what. I said, there may be something wrong, but we're going to be okay because God's got us. It's all right. When we get to the hospital, they go tell this guy, Karen and Brother Eddie get a wheelchair, and the first thing this guy's doing, they're telling me, you know, it's my right leg bothering me. Well, the guy, first thing he does is grab your leg. Well, I'll hold it. I was like, please let go of my leg. Don't touch it. And he was like, well, I'll help. I was like, no, I can get in the wheelchair myself. Just leave me alone. I know he was wanting to help, but Lord of mercy, he was killing me. So we get in there, and we wind up sitting for a couple of hours in there. And Karen was like, she felt bad because we were sitting in there, and I was having to hold my leg up because it was wanting to go to the right a little bit. So I, probably like a redneck, I took my belt off and wrapped it around both legs so I could about, oh, and not have to hold my pants leg. And Karen's like, we're sitting here waiting for 2 hours. She's stressed. And I'm like, look, we had some people from the church come up. We had family come up. I'm like, we normally don't get to just sit around and talk to them at night, so let's just take the good out of the bad. We got to have some fellowship we normally don't get. And we did. And we wind up, had to go to back there to x-rays. And x-rays was, it was a different story. I knew I didn't want Karen back there, but she said, I hate it for you. I'm coming. Luckily, the girl that came and got me, took me back to x-rays and was like, well, ma'am, we need you to stay out here. And I was so thankful because trying to get from the wheelchair to that little flat, I don't know if any of you had an x-ray lately, but it's not a very comfortable bed. It's just a piece of steel it feels like you lay on. So just transferring and all, it was hurt. Anyhow, after the first x-ray, this lady, the girl gets another lady, and I heard that lady say, oh, yeah, well, go ahead and just get him a bed. And then I was like, well, that's not a good sign. And then they take another one, and she's like, yeah, we're going to put him in a room. And she, which thankfully Logan was there. Logan brought me a bed. And they put me in a bed, and she's like, we're going to take you to your room. I said, well, I don't have a room. She's like, well, you do now. Don't worry. And I'm like, well, this really ain't good thing. They don't give me a room. So I go into the room, and the doctor comes in and is like, well, they tell me you broke your hip. He said, but I'll be back in a minute. We're going to go read the x-rays. I'm like, you can't not read something. Just come in and tell somebody that and leave. Anyhow, my dad and Karen come back here, and another lady comes in. And she starts telling us what's going on. You're going to have to be transported to Carrollton. That's where our orthopedic surgeons and all are. And Karen's like, hold on a minute. So what's the deal? You're telling us we're going to be transported to surgery. So the lady wound up telling us, well, they'll have to look at it and see. We think you broke your, I can't remember if she said hip or not. Anyhow, we get, still have to take an ambulance ride. They make me take one from Villa Rica to Carrollton. And I was like, man, I was trying to get out of this. But we did it. Anyhow, we got up there the next morning. A doctor had come in. His name was Dr. Cates. He'd come in. I still hadn't seen no x-rays, but he drew on the board. He said, "This is what's going on. It's your femur. Your femur's got a ball at the end where it goes in your hip. And that ball is kind of just broke." He said, "So I'm going to go in and put 3 screws in it." And I was like, "Well, thank God it's not any worse, you know," because the whole time we're thanking God that it's not worse. I didn't hit my head. When I fell and hit my hand, it bruised, but I didn't break my wrist. I didn't break my arm. I didn't hit my head. So we're praising God for all the which it's really not small things, but you're looking at little small things leading up. Well, this doctor comes in, and he tells us this, we're going to do the surgery. And I'm like, "You know what? Thank God is what no worse. We appreciate coming in." And he's like, "Well, I tell you what, if you don't mind, would you mind if I prayed with y'all?" I'm like, "Whoa, this is pretty good. Doctors, you know." So he prays with us. They finally, the surgery's going to be at 2. It gets moved up to 11. Excuse me. I think around 11 something, they take us to, I don't know what it's called. I call it the holding cell, where they take you in there and family sits around and they get you ready for surgery. They're like, "This is what we're going to do." Some lady comes in and she shaved like the side of my leg where he's going to cut, and they get everything ready. Well, he comes in, and Brother Eddie and Karen, I can't remember if my mom and dad were in there yet or not when we prayed. They were. Well, they come in, and he's talking to Brother Eddie, and he's like, "Who's this? I hadn't met them yet." I was like, "That's my father-in-law." And he said, "Oh, that's good. He's a good son-in-law." And Brother Eddie tells him, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, he has to say that. He's my pastor." He said, "Oh, well, that's good." He said, "Well, come on, pastor, before we do this surgery, lead us in a word of prayer." So it's the second time this doctor has prayed over us in the surgery, and I'm thinking, man, this is unreal to have a doctor pray with you. And we go in there to surgery, and you see, I thought the x-ray table bad, but you see this little bitty table, and he's telling me what they're going to do, and I'm like, there's no way I'm getting on this thing. Like, I don't know how. Well, I remember waking up afterwards, so praise God I didn't have to go to that table. But I thank God for that. He wound up putting 3 screws in. Everything's healed up, and everything's done fine. But the thing I want to do is I just want to praise God because he looked after me in things that, at work, at home, things I've done in my life that I shouldn't have made it out of probably. He's looked after me. And things like this, we talk about being so busy. Karen and I did. It was like, man, we're so busy we don't have time to sit down sometimes. Well, sometimes I believe when you don't rest, God will let you rest. He'll make you rest sometimes. And it's not fun when you're made to rest because you have to sit there with your leg up and you can't do nothing. But I praise God. I praise God because he showed me so much going through this thing. He showed me that a praying church family come in like that. Because when I fell, actually when we was waiting in the emergency room, I think it was Brother Tommy and Sister Susan come in and was like, "Yeah, we've seen the prayer request." And I get looking at it and it was like, "Tony's fell off the porch." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, we got to put that, my head's okay." And I got to try to, so I was trying to text Sister Lori, like, "Put out, it's just my leg, my head and all's okay." So, but it's amazing the church family you have that immediately people start praying. People start praying and you start seeing God work because it could have been so much worse. The doctor was telling me, he's like, "If your leg would have went apart anymore, then we may have had to cut it, or we may have had to do more surgery, or we'd have had to put a rod in it." But they didn't do anything but put 3 screws in it. And that may sound like a lot, but it's not. I praise God for what he's done. I praise God for being with us, for encouraging us, lifting us up. I praise God for never failing me, for never leaving me by my side, for never leaving me by myself. Because there's times where Karen can't be there. When I got transported, I told Karen, I was like, "Look, the best thing to do is just go home, get you a shower, get you some clothes, get me some clothes to go home in. Just take your time. You know, I'm going by an ambulance. I'll be with medical professional people from the time I leave till you get there, you know." But there was that one time that Karen wasn't there, my mom and dad wasn't there, Brother Eddie wasn't there. There was one time where it was just me in there. And, of course, they got nurses and all. But never once did I feel like God had left me. I knew he was praying. I knew my parents were praying. I knew my wife was praying. But not one time did I ever feel that God left me. Not one time did I ever feel frightened or afraid or scared or worried or, oh my gosh, the whole time all this situation went through, there was a peace about it all. And just like on the way there, when Karen was driving, I was telling her, I was like, "Hun, don't rush, don't hurry, I'm okay, I'm all right." And she's like, "You was laying there screaming, it took you this long to get in the car, you're not all right." But God never left us. He gave us a peace and He gave us a comfort. And that's something when you serve God that you have that you just can't explain to somebody else, that you can't tell them that, hey, there's a peace that you just don't understand until you face it. And I know we've all had storms in our life. We've all had things we've faced. We've all had things we've been through. But when we've got God in our life, we know there's a peace through it all. Even if it's storms I've caused myself, God has still given me a peace through it. In John chapter 5, the only title I could think of tonight with this was When It Seems No One Cares. When it seems no one cares. In verse 5, it says, And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. There's a man that had sickness for 38 years. I'm 38 years old, so it would be my whole life this man's had a sickness. This man's been sick. And God asked him, Do you not want to be healed? And he's like, I can't make it to the pool. By the time I get to the pool, somebody else is already in it. And I got thinking about, there was a guy I knew, or a guy I worked with, he got hurt sometime this year in March. He had separated his knee from his femur. He had tore ACL, PCL, any kind of L in there, he tore it all and had to have surgery and rebuilt. Well, I try to call him once a week. He had worked with me. I try to call him once a week and talk to him. But when I got out and I sat there at the house, I got thinking of how much he probably needed people to call him. I got thinking about my flaws and what I should have done to reach out to people. This man's been sick for 38 years, and I wonder how many people has reached out and helped him. He may have had people to help him, but he may have had nobody help him. And it got thinking to me, I just got thinking in my heart about the people that I've not reached out to, the people that I've not lent a helping hand to, the people that are hurting, that are struggling, the people that are broken, the people that are facing storms right now in their life, and I didn't reach out unto them. I may call him every once in a while, but it made me feel better just calling him. But I don't know what all he was facing and going through when he was out. I don't know what all he had going on in his life. Just like we don't all know what everybody else has. You can come in here and look like you're the happiest person in the world, and you'd be facing the worst storm you've ever faced in your life, and nobody will ever know. But there's certain people that we do know that they're facing things. In my heart tonight, I don't know why I couldn't get away from the scripture. I tried reading different things and going different ways. But my heart was set on, our hearts should be yearning for our brothers and sisters. Those that are hurting, those that are struggling, those that are broken, those that have walked away from God, those that have went away from the church. Sometimes in my life, I know I've felt justified in just giving up on them because I've tried to talk to them and I've told them and they don't want to live right, so whatever, let them go about their business. But God's not calling me for it. God's called me to keep going after them. Because what if he had just quit on me after one time? What if he had quit on me after I didn't answer him the first time, after I didn't accept him or start walking the life that I should have walked? Then the bones that I fell and broke, the times that I've been hurting and I've been struggling, then I'd have felt like I've been through them alone. And there's nothing worse than feeling like you're alone. There's nothing worse than feeling like nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. Nobody's there for you. I've got family members that I should reach out to. I got family members that I need to call and tell them that I love them and I'm praying for them and I'm still there for them and I do anything I can to help them. Excuse me. There's going to be people that try to take advantage of that. Everybody says, well, I don't, or some people say, well, I don't help because, you know, there are people just take advantage. You know what? There's going to be people that take advantage of us. And I try to tell my wife and my kids, I watch people. I try to be very observant. But I try to tell them, too, let somebody prove you wrong. It's okay. It's all right if you give them the benefit of the doubt and they let you down. Life goes on. You'll get over it. They may hurt your feelings, but it's okay. Because you know what? I've let people down in my life. I've let them down plenty of times. I've dropped the ball, I've walked away, I've let people down, and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. But you see, this man was laying here 38 years. And there's people that's been through storms for 38 years. There's people that's been through situations in their life where they felt like God has turned against them. Everybody in their family's turned against them. There's nobody that loves them, nobody that cares for them, nobody that's praying for them. And they even feel like God has left them. They feel like, God, I faced this for so long, and you've not healed me. You've not delivered me. You've not moved. You've not taken this away from me. So therefore, I'm giving up. I quit. They just quit serving God. And they feel justified in their life. Why? Because I give God every opportunity, and he didn't heal me. If you read about Paul, Paul says he prayed for that thorn in his side to be removed, but he couldn't. But you know what else? God uses it. God will use that to build you, to make you. Because you see, for gold to be pure, it's got to be purified. It's got to go through the fires. And nobody in here will say, Lord, send me through the fires. I'll see. I'll come out stronger. Nobody in here. I don't say that. I'm like, Lord, a little bitty thing comes up. And I'm like, oh, God, we're going to lose everything. Everything's falling apart. Excuse me. But to go through the trials and the situation. I have a friend I work with. They had their third daughter. His wife started having kidney problems. Her kidney function started going down. And I tell him, don't worry, God's got you. He's going to take care of you. It's all right. And I talk to him and I pray with him. And Karen knew his wife would see him and talk to him and pray for him. And I was like, it's all right. Well, her numbers will do good, then her numbers will go down. Then her numbers will do okay, then her numbers will go down. Since I've been on light duty, I have got to work with this guy. And just to sit in a truck, me and him sit in a truck one day for probably, we were waiting on some things and it was raining. It was about an hour, maybe an hour or two. I felt like we was about to have church in the truck. We was just sitting talking about the good Lord and talking about life. And he said, you know what? He said, I've had storms that I've faced that I thought I never, never want to face them. He said, when my wife started this kidney stuff, he said, dialysis was the worst thing we could think of. We never wanted to get dialysis. Well, she got bad enough, she had to get dialysis. He said it wound up being one of the greatest things because at dialysis, she started getting her energy back. She started feeling better. Well, then one of the worst things was see that dialysis was not going great and she had to have a kidney transplant. Her daughter, 18-year-old daughter, was a match. So her, talk about selfless, her 18-year-old daughter gave her a kidney. And I was talking to my buddy at work and he said, I was in the waiting room and he said, I got my daughter going this way and my wife over here going this way. And he said, I'm torn. He said, I was helpless. He said, I was helpless. I was hopeless. I didn't know what to do. He said, I was sitting there just crying. He said, I didn't know where to turn. He said, of course, he's a Christian and he serves God. And he said, you know, I was praying. He said, but man, I was still so sick. He said, I was praying for God to take care of it. And he said, I had faith that he would. He said, but man, still in my heart, it was turning. You know, I got my baby going this way and my wife going this way. What can I tell you through the storms that he faced? And his wife had the kidney transplant. He told me it's the best thing that's ever happened to him. He said, it's funny to me how the storms we see that we're facing, the worst things that we could get to, he said, it's what we got to, and it wound up being the best things in our lives. Because his wife, every bit of her color has come back. She's actually, she's healthy. She eats certain things, but she's healthy. She's doing good. She feels good. And he said, the things that I thought were the worst, that were going to break me and that were going to destroy me, God used to show me, I got this and I'm taking care of it. He said, it's only when it was out of his hands that God showed, hey, I got this. And he said, when I had my daughter one way and my wife the other way, he said, inside me was just, man, it was turmoil. But God told him, I got this. Don't worry about it. And he said, they both come through surgery and he was like, I was like, oh, thank God. And then they both started healing and get to go home and doing well. And I can tell you that I've got to work with him, and we both just thank God for what he's done. We were just sitting there just thanking God for his blessings, for the trials we faced, the storms we had went through. And it looked like God left us. When they were singing that song, that's what I was thinking. It seemed like a lot of times that I prayed and I've been through these storms and God was asleep. And I'm like, God, where are you at? I'm facing this. I've been facing this. This man's been facing this for 38 years, but where are you? Where is the freedom? Where is the deliverance? Where is the peace? It seems like it's never going to come. There's times where it's been like, God, why have you left me? Why, God? And it's those times that he says, I've not left you. I'm standing right here with you. I'm the one holding you up when you're so broken you can't stand. When it's hurting so bad you can't move, I'm the one keeping you alive. I'm the one keeping you awake. I'm the one keeping you going on. Though it may seem hard, though it may seem you don't have the answer that you want, God has said, don't worry about it because I've got that answer coming. No way if you'd asked my buddy would he have went through those things. But he'll tell you today that's the greatest testimony he's got in his life because they can go and they can tell everybody, if you think you're in despair, if you think you're struggling, don't worry because God's going to see you through it. God's going to see us through it. This man was sick for 38 years. 38 years he had an infirmity. He was sick. He was struggling. He couldn't get to the pool. The only healing he knew he could get was to get to that pool first and people would beat him. So there was no way for him to get healing, no way for him to get deliverance. until a certain man come on the scene. So the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. We take that and said immediately he was made whole. But you got to think about it. For 38 years he struggled with it. For 38 years. So if you're struggling with something, if you got something that's beating you down, that's tearing you down, that you've struggled with years, don't give up. God's not turned a deaf ear to you. God's not said, "I'm not listening to you." God's waiting for you to get to the point to where he can heal you, where you can get to the point to where he can bless you. Because if he was to heal us sooner, then we'd have said it was the doctors. If he was to heal us sooner, then we'd have said it was ourselves that done it. But when he waits to the point of despair, when he waits to the point that nothing can be done but him, then we have to say it was only by him that I was healed. It was only by him that I am healed. That man knew that immediately after 38 years, God didn't tell him, "Take you 5 more years, take you 5 more steps." God said, "Immediately, take up your bed and go." And that guy just stood straight up. Well, I'm here to tell you, we got to know God in our life to be able to do that. We got to pray to him. We got to seek him. And there's people out there that are struggling that don't know this. And there's people that have forgotten about this because they have been struggling for so long. They have been beaten down. Because you know what? When you start facing something and God doesn't heal you immediately, I don't care if it's mental, if it's physical, whatever it may be, what's the devil start doing? Especially if it's mental. What's the devil start doing? First thing he does is start sowing doubt in there. They don't nobody love you. They don't nobody care for you. When's the last time you had a phone call from your brother? See, they don't love you like you did. When I was out sick, I was extremely blessed. I told Karen, and once I got to where I could get around crutches pretty decent, I said, "This retired life ain't too bad." I go out to eat with Brother Eddie and Sister Penny, and then Aunt Linda and them come took me to lunch. I had a brother come by one day and bring me lunch. I'm like, "This retired life ain't too bad. I like this." You can get around, but there's so many people that don't have those people in their life. I was so blessed to have people call me, to text me, people to just let me know that they was praying for me, people at the entire church that I knew was praying for me. When the first prayer request went out, I knew without a shadow of a doubt, I knew that prayers were going up. And I can see every face in this church praying for me. I could see it. Why? Because I knew that's what was going on. That's why we have that prayer request thing. And it's not something, that's why I tell people at work, we get talking about it, I'm like, it's a prayer request chain, but it's not just a prayer request chain. It's not just one of the things that says, go out and if you do this 10 times and everybody will be rich. It's one of the things that when it goes out, people's praying immediately, as soon as it goes, as soon as it happens. And I know you got people praying for you, people that are there for you. I had a support system that was amazing. I've had people ask Brother Eddie, because I fell off the porch, so it's not finished yet. But I had people immediately, as soon as I got hurt, asking Brother Eddie, "Well, what can we do to fix the porch to get it going?" Through weather and all that right now, it ain't went too good. But we're going to get it together. And I praise God for that, because you got people that love you and people that care. But there's so many people that have been on my heart that don't have those people, that are struggling. I got a cousin who we sent out a prayer request for her little boy. I didn't know everything. I just knew that they had said he needed prayer. He was born a few days before Christmas. His adrenal glands didn't develop. They've been in and out of children's health care. They come home, then he had to go back. And I talked to my cousin last night, and she said that he was doing good. But the thing about it is, my cousin told me, she was like, "The dad," she said, "I don't think he's saved." I said, "Well, do you know how many people God has changed through their children? Do you know how many people God has changed when they've seen something go through the fire and come out on the other side that the doctors may not can explain, that the doctors can't see, that the doctors don't know why it is, what it is?" I said, "I'm expecting a healing in the baby." And I can tell you that she showed me pictures last night. He's doing great. He's at home. But more important than his healing, that God's going to heal the husband, that God's going to save the soul of the family, that God's going to draw them in and show them that it wasn't just a doctor. It wasn't just a person, that it was a God who heard the prayers, who heard the cries, who heard the people that were calling out to him. I praise God for never giving up on me. I praise God for not leaving me. So many times I deserve to be left alone. I deserve to when I fail, for God to just be like, "I'm through. I've told you time and time again." My son is a 100% boy. If If you've ever hung around us, you know he's 100%. I think Brother Sean got to see on, what was it, New Year's Eve that night. I was like, whatever he's telling you at that table, I go ahead and apologize for, because he's a little boy and he's 100 miles an hour all the time. But no matter how many times I tell him, Trey, don't do this, Trey, don't do that, and he trips and he falls and he does it and he gets hurt, there's not been a time that I've not picked him up when he fell. And I see God the same way, because I can't get mad at him, because I do the same thing to God. It's, Tony, don't do that. I'm trying to lead you in this way, son. I'll be okay this way, Lord. I can handle it. And before I know it, I'm laying there crying, God, what did I get myself into? And yet, has he never failed me? Has he never left me? God has never dropped me. There's a lady in Luke chapter 8 with an issue of blood. Everybody knows the story. She had it. Spent all she had. She was desperate, and there wasn't but one thing she could do, and that was push through the crowd and get to Jesus. Amen. There's times in our life where we've done all we can do. We've prayed. We've had others pray with us. But sometimes we just got to reach Jesus. Sometimes we got to get down on our knees, and we got to really get serious with Him. Anytime that we're asked to preach, it feels like that whole week, like you're on your P's and Q's more. You know, like you're like, oh, I need to be watching this, or I need to be doing this, or I need to feel like you're on your P's and Q's more. Excuse me, don't make you a better person, or not me. It don't mean I'm a better person. It makes me start watching, though, and start looking and start. It makes me want to live better and be better, and it makes me want to be, what can I do more for God? What can I do? Who's hurting? Who's struggling? Who's facing? And I still fail God every day with this. But there's people out there that are struggling. This lady with the issue of blood, the only thing she could do is she knew she had to reach Jesus. Our life, if you know somebody who's struggling through something tonight, if you know somebody who's had sickness, who's had struggles, who's had, I don't care, like I said, if it's mental, if it's physical, whatever it may be, the devil's going to sow doubt in your mind and tell you that you can't be healed, that you can't be delivered, that you can't be encouraged, that you can't be touched, that you can't be blessed. But I don't serve a God who can. I serve a God who can't. Just like the man that was lame laying at the gate for 38 years. Immediately he took his bed up when he met Jesus. So it's time that these people that are hurting, these people that are struggling, even if it's us in our lives, we need to get serious and we need to get down and we need to meet Jesus. We need to know what he's got in store for us. So you know what? I've been going through trials. I've been going through troubles. I've been going through situations. You know what? That's to help build me. That's to make me a better Christian, make me a better person so I can reach out and tell somebody else. Because if I never go through something, I can't really tell you how to overcome it. I can tell you what the Word says, just like what I love so much about Brother Keith and the addictions ministry. There's so many times that Brother Keith's been down there, and I've went to class, and he's talked to people, and I'm like, there's no way that I could give this testimony, because I don't have I didn't have that struggle or that background. And I thank God that I didn't have that. But what God has turned from bad, I mean, what the devil meant for bad, God has turned for good. And there's so many lives he's been able to touch because he's been there. He can say, hey, I've been through this. I know what you're going through. I know that they tell you you can't overcome it. I know that they tell you it's a struggle that's too great, that's too powerful, that there's no way out. But I can tell you there is a way out. And he can show you in the Word, and he can tell you by his life how he's done. And I praise God for that. And I think that's why we all go through different situations in our life. Because it's to show, hey, you can make it through this. Hey, God does have a plan for you. God does have a purpose for you. We can make it through these situations. We can make it through these trials. The devil's going to tell us we can't. The devil's going to tell us it's too big, it's too rough, it's too bad. Just give up. But I'm telling you tonight, when it seems no one cares, know that you got somebody there with you. Know that God cares. Know that he's there with you. Yes. Know that we should be reaching out to others. We should be telling them about God. We should be telling them about these situations. Excuse me, that we went through to be able to encourage him and tell them, God's going to take care of you. If you're in here tonight and you've got struggles and trials you've went through, God's going to take care of you. If you got something you're facing now, you've been facing for years, I'm here to tell you I stand firm that I believe with everything I got, God's going to take care of it. God's going to heal you. God's going to deliver you. God's going to bless you. God's going to move in your life. He's going to take care of us. Sister, when you said you woke up and you were struggling, there wasn't nobody there, but there was one you could call on, wasn't it? There was a name you could call out that you know would be sitting right beside you, that you know would be with you, that you would know would comfort you, would strengthen you, would help you. And it's the name of Jesus. And so many times we try to get away from it, and we want to go do this, or we need to go do that, and the world will tell you, well, you take this medicine, you take this medicine. But a lot of times we just need to get in our hearts and get our mindset and our focus on Jesus. And we need to get to where we need to be with God, where we can encourage and help others. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." If we're strong all the time and we can handle everything and we don't need God, then it's in our flesh that we leave him laying where he's at and we go handle everything. And then we'll come back when we think about him or when we need something or when we struggle. But that's why we have weaknesses. That's why we have struggles. Because it says, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I'll tell you something that's hard to do, and next time you go through something, I'm going to try my best to do it too. Glory through your infirmities. When you're hurting, praise God. When you're struggling, praise God. When you're going through trials that don't seem like you're going to get out of, don't get down and feel sorry for yourself. Stand up and praise the Lord. Know that he's going to see you through it. Know that he's going to take care of you. Know that he's going to bring you through it. When I was going back in surgery, they called me back and they had given me some morphine right before then. And before I had went back, and it, man, I did not like that stuff. You feel it going through you. I was back there, it'd make you cry, like just talking to Karen. I'd be starting to cry about, what in the world is, I don't like this stuff, you know. As we go through, I didn't want to make a big deal as we're going into surgery because I got all faith God's taking care of this. Well, I tell Karen, I love you, you know, tell everybody bye, I love you, tell her I love you, but I didn't want to be too, I already had that medicine, I didn't want to be too emotional. I'd be back here squalling like it. But when I was going into surgery, I don't think I even told Karen about this. I was going into surgery and I was thinking, if I don't wake up from this, I'm going to be okay. It's bad to think, but it went through my mind and I said, you know what? I'm not going to be the one that needs the prayers. It's going to be Karen and them because I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be quite all right. And I just got thinking about, God, I thank you for watching over me, for loving me, for teaching me about you, for having salvation that when you go back, because they say sometimes the slightest things. And like I said, we had all faith of God was going to take care of everything through surgeries, anesthesia, all this stuff. But I said, you know what, God, when I went back and it was just getting on the table, I was like, I've got no worries because I'm so thankful to have him in my life. Tonight, I know it wasn't real long, but I just felt like I wanted to share and tell everybody how much I appreciated their prayers through this couple months that we've struggled. It's getting better every day, healing. Still got a weight limit of lifting or whatever, but I praise God for taking care of us, for loving us. But I just felt in my heart that there's people that's going through stuff for 38 years. And God says, don't give up. Don't quit. I know it hurts, and I know it's a struggle, and I know it's a battle. I'm not taking it lightly. But know that God will be with you. God will heal you. God will deliver you. God will bring you through it. It's not no big deal to him. He's got this. A lot of times the devil wants to get on us and get us beat down and worried and struggled, and there's no way out. But God says, hey, when you've exhausted everything else, I'm sitting right here ready to take care of it all. Yes. If you would all please stand. If you would bow your head and close your eyes. I don't want to extend this real long. If you got any battles that you faced, trials, or situations, or things you just got going on in your life where you felt like you fought long enough, you're sick of fighting for it. You're sick of fighting it. Know that God is here with you. And you got saints of God that'll pray with you. And where two or more gathering in my name, he'll be in the midst of us. If you want prayer tonight, I pray you come forth and let God deliver you. Let God move in your life. Let him take control. And let him just heal and give you the deliverance that you need. The deliverance that you've wanted for years, that you've searched for. To know that he's in control and that he's got you no matter what it is you face. Brother Eddie.
Praise God. Some of you elders gather around tonight. Let's have prayer.